Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Q4 2017 JinkoSolar Holding Corporation Limited's earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Sebastian Lu. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's fourth quarter 2017 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Gener Miao, VP Global Sales, and Mr. Sebastian Lu, IR Director. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and the company's highlights, followed by Mr. Gener Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and Mr. Cao will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your question during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except as required under applicable law. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢 Sebastian。各位早上、晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
本季度组件出货量2481兆瓦，环比增长4.5%，同比增长43.1%。本季度收入9.764亿美元，环比减少1%，同比增长24%。毛利率11.6%，相比上季度的12%，毛利微跌，主要由于多晶硅价格上涨以及人民币对美元持续升值。
We shipped 2,481 MW of solar modules during the quarter, an increase of 4.5% sequentially, and an increase of 43.1% year-over-year. Total revenue during the quarter reached $976.4 million, a decrease of 1% sequentially, and an increase of 24% year-over-year. Gross margin was 11.6%, compared with 12% last quarter, primarily due to the increase in the price of polysilicon and appreciation of RMB against U.S. dollar. For the full year 2017, we shipped 9,807 MW solar modules, an increase of 47.3% from 2016, further solidifying our leading position in terms of global market share. Total revenue for the full year 2017 were $4.07 billion, an increase of 23.7% from 2016. Gross margin was 11.3% for the full year 2017, compared with 18.1% for the full year 2016.
公司全年盈利低于预期，首先在于公司OEM的使用超过预期，导致毛利水平下降，特别是2017年上半年。其次，2016年底到2017年初，公司锁定了大量中长期订单，而2017年初的订单规模已经超过了2016年全年的订单规模。
In 2017,
高毛利的产品还没有大规模投放市场。
Earnings for the year came in below our expectations, primarily because we had to allocate more of our production than expected to our OEM partners, especially in the first half of 2017, due to the surge in market demand, which averaged down our margins. Second, a large portion of our orders for 2017 were booked at the end of 2016 and early 2017 with fixed prices. Meanwhile, the cost of the raw material risk increased throughout the year, especially the price of polysilicon, which increased our cost pressure. And finally, during 2017, we continued the transition of our product mix from multi to mono, which limited high-margin products delivered.
展望2018年，我们相信通过降低 OEM 比例，持续的技术改进与创新，加强供应链管理，使成本结构进一步优化，公司的毛利和净利水平都将有效提升。我们已看到原材料价格也开始回落，包括多晶硅价格。同时，凭借公司的强大的品牌和领先的技术水平，公司有信心通过持续推出高质量、高效率、高技术含量的产品，来提高整体毛利率。此外，公司将持续完善全球销售网络，适应迅速变化的市场环境，特别是抓住新兴市场的机会，进一步扩大全球市场份额的领先地位。
Looking into 2018, we believe our margins and profitabilities have room to improve as we will control the usage of the OEM and further optimize our cost structure, including initiatives in technology improvement and supply chain management.Raw material cost has already begun to ease, including polysilicon. At the same time, leveraging our strong brand recognition and leading technology, we are confident in our ability to expand margins of our value-added products that are high quality, highly efficient, and have the most advanced technology. In the meantime, we will continue to expand and improve our global sales network to take advantage of new opportunities.Especially in emerging markets and adapt to ever-changing market environments in order to further expand our global market share.
纵观全球市场，中国市场仍然是体量最大的市场，占全球市场份额50%左右。尽管一季度是传统淡季，但 ASP 依然保持平稳。2018年中国市场总体可能略有下降，但扶贫项目和分布式市场将进一步发展，尤其是复用市场。将保持强劲增长。美国市场方面，2010法案已公布了裁决后的太阳能电池组件关税，虽然仍有很多细节尚未解决，但这不会阻挡公司在美国投资建厂的步伐。我们将在美国东南部投资建造先进的太阳能组件工厂，并在下半年开始出货，这将为我们带来先发优势，并能更加灵活地支持公司当地的合作伙伴。我们还将根据全球订单和市场的情况持续投入海外先进产能，新兴市场逐渐成为公司最大的增长动力。拉丁美洲和澳大利亚市场需求持续保持强劲增长势头，中东和非洲市场也在迅速崛起。我们将继续投入更多资源在这些高速增长的市场，以确保公司的持续增长。得益于更平衡的市场战略，2018年上半年公司的订单可见度已超过70%。
Look at our different market globally. China is still the largest market, accounting for approximately 15% of global demand. Q1 is traditionally a slow season, but ASPs remain stable. Total demand of Chinese market for the whole year may slip slightly, but we expect to see further development of PV poverty alleviation projects and DG projects, especially strong growth in residential market. Turning into the US,The announcement of Section 201 tariffs for solar cells and modules left a lot of details to air out, but it won't disrupt our plan to invest in production facility in the U.S. We will begin the construction of an advanced solar module manufacturing facility in the southeastern United States, which will begin shipping in the second half. It will provide us with a first mover advantage and more flexibility to support our local partners.We will continue to invest into advanced manufacturing capacity overseas according to our global order book and market development. Emerging market gradually became our biggest growth driver. Demand in Latin America and Australia maintained strong growth momentum and markets in the Middle East and Africa are expected to generate substantial growth. We will continue to allocate more resources towards those high-growth markets in order to further solidify the long-term sustainable development of the company. In general, with a more balanced market strategy, we already have a good visibility into the first half of 2018, with over 70% of our order book already filled for the first half.
技术方面，公司在保持行业质量最优的基础上，持续优化单晶硅片生产成本，在成晶切片和氩气回收方面均取得了持续进步，预期在二季度末将达到更为理想的状态。一季度，公司的P型单晶 TOC 电池效率达到 23.45%， 打破了自己保持的世界纪录。公司在 N 型 HOT 技术上也取得了进步，电池量产平均效率已达到领先行业的 21.9%。 同时，随着市场需求的增长，公司计划扩大双面电池双面双波组件的产能，例如 P 型 TOC 双面双波产品以及 N 型 HOT 双面双波产品。与此同时，公司的技术团队在半片技术上持续扩大竞争优势。总之，公司的目标是保持行业技术领先，为客户提供最可靠、质量最优的高效产品。
On the technology front, we continue to optimize the cost of our mono wafer production, where we seek to obtain the highest quality in the industry. We have made substantial progress on crystallizing, cutting, argon recycling during the production process, and expect to reach optimal standards by the end of second quarter. In the first quarter, we broke our own world record for P-type mono PERC solar cell efficiency, which hit 23.45%, and have made solid progress in developing N-type hydroxide thin film, or HOT technology, which reached industry-leading 21.9% average cell efficiency during mass production. With demand increasing, we plan to expand the capacity of bifacial cell plus dual glass modules, such as our bifacial P-type PERC dual glass products and bifacial N-type HOT products. Meanwhile, our tech team continue to expand our competitive advantage in half-cell technology. Overall, our target is to maintain industry-leading technology standards, while to provide our clients with the highest quality, most reliable, and high-efficiency products.
产能方面，公司的硅片、电池片和组件的内部产能在四季度末分别达到8G瓦、5G瓦和8G瓦。我们预期2018年年底产能将达到9.5G瓦、6G瓦和10G瓦，其中有5.5G瓦的单晶硅片产能，以及3.5G瓦的破壳电池产能。公司对产能扩充保持一贯的谨慎态度，并力求灵活度，以保持控制资本开支与业务持续增长的平衡。
Turning to manufacturing capacity, our internal wafer cell and module capacity reached 8 gigawatts, 5 gigawatts, and 8 gigawatts respectively by the end of fourth quarter of 2017. We expect to reach 9.5 gigawatts, 6 gigawatts, and 10 gigawatts respectively by the end of the year, of which approximately 5.5 gigawatts will be mono wafer, approximately 3.5 gigawatts will be PERC cells. We remain cautious about expanding our manufacturing capacity and will continue to maintain our flexibility to balance the CapEx and the business growth.
展望2018年，尽管2017年全球出货量已达100 G瓦左右，我们预期2018年全球需求仍将继续增长，大部分增量将来自于新兴市场。随着太阳能发电成本不断下降，全球对清洁能源偏好的日益增长，太阳能已变得极具竞争力并日趋成熟，应用领域也越来越丰富。尽管存在着激烈的行业竞争和贸易壁垒的阴霾，我们对行业的长期可持续发展和前景充满信心。
Looking into 2018, despite shipments globally reaching approximately 100 gigawatts in 2017, we still expect global demand to continue growing in 2018.With most of the growth drivers coming from the emerging markets. With the cost of solar continue to decrease, the support of clean energy globally increasing, solar energy becoming very competitive and more mature with abundant application scenarios. We are very confident in the industry long-term sustainability and prospects, despite a competitive environment and some shadow of the trade barrier.
话题交给 Janet 之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。基于当前的预期，2018年第一季度公司组件出货量在 1.8 到 2.0 吉瓦之间，2018年全年组件出货量在 11.5 到12吉瓦之间。
Before turning the call over to Jenner, I will quickly go over our guidance. Based on the current estimates, total solar module shipments will be in the range of 1.8 to 2 gigawatts for the first quarter and 11.5 gigawatts to 12 gigawatts for the full year.
谢谢 Sebastian. 接下来现在我将话题交给 Jenner.
Thank you, Sebastian. With that, I'll turn it over to Jenner.
Thank you, Ms. Chen.I'm happy to report a strong finish to 2017, in which we shipped a total of 2,481 megawatts of solar modules during the fourth quarter, and 9,807 megawatts for the entire year. As we further consolidate our industry-leading position in terms of global market share, this demonstrates the efficiency of our business operations and sales capability.And the trust that our customers all over the world have in our brand and the product. We are confident in our business prospects for 2018 and the ability to further expand our global market share despite the challenges we expect to face. First, looking at the geographic distribution of our module shipments of fourth quarter, new emerging markets accounted for approximately 40% of total shipments. China and North America tied for the second place, followed by the Asian Pacific and European markets. This change underlines how flexible and adaptable our global sales network are, as well as our strategic foresight to invest in emerging markets early in order to benefit from their current phase of rapid growth. China is still the largest and the most important market.While Q1 is traditionally a slow season, but ASPs remain stable. We expect the rush orders to continue coming in before the June 30th cutoff, but this wave may not be as strong as the same period last year, and meanwhile, total demand of China is this year could slip a little compared with last year. But there is no lack of excitement. New round of top runner projects,and the poverty alleviation projects all over the country have begun. And the spontaneous DG projects, especially residential ones, will continue to maintain strong growth this year. We will continue to strengthen our Chinese sales and marketing strategy accordingly to benefit from the current and the future growth trends and new opportunities. Turning to US, on January 22nd, President Trump approved to a one solar import tariffs, which began at 30% for the crystalline silicon solar cells and modules. This tariff will be reduced by 5% each year, ending at 50% by the fourth year. 2.5 gigawatt of cells will be exempted every year. As Ms. Chen has already stated, we decided to build an advanced solar manufacturing facility, which will provide us with a first mover advantage and the flexibility to support our local partners. We expect the first half of this year to be relatively quiet in the US as it undergoes a period of rebalancing. And after that, demand will gradually recover to a normal level. Our strategy is to leverage our competitive advantage in leading technology,outstanding product quality, professional local service, and establishing long-term and stable relationship with customers to avoid uncertainty for both parties caused by the short-term market fluctuations. In the Asian Pacific region, demand and ASPs in Japan remain relatively stable. We will continue to work on improving the distribution network along with local services and plan to further increase our market share there. Growth in Indian market was impressive in 2017, but the new round of anti-dumping investigation has cast a shadow on the future growth prospects. We hope it won't impact its 100 gigawatt target by 2022, and we'll continue to work closely with our local partners there to maintain our commitment to our clients. Emerging markets gradually became our biggest growth driver, and we expect our growth momentum in these markets to continue into 2018. We will continue focusing our resources on major markets such as Australia, Mexico, and Brazil, where we are increasingly benefiting from our investments there in recent years. We will also continue to invest deeply in markets such as Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Ethiopia, and Nigeria, considering their huge potential, to support the long-term development of the company. ASPs during the quarter were stable compared with last quarter, and we expect the module prices decrease a bit in the fourth quarter of 2018. We already have great visibility on orders during the first half of the year. In the last quarter of 2017, Jinko Solar's brand was strengthened through the participation in various high-profile summits and industry conferences, organization of various customer training, and exposure in both trade and mainstream media. For example, in December, NHK, Japan's national public television station, featured Jinko Solar in its special on Chinese renewable companies. NHK's coverage of Jinko Solar has enabled us to reach a wider audience beyond just that of our industry. NHK's choice to cover Jinko Solar reflects the strength of our brand. During the same month, we were also invited to attend the meeting of the world's highest decision-making body on environmental matters, the United Nations Environmental Assembly, hosted in Nairobi. At the assembly, we were able to share ideas on the importance of the strong and supportive regulations in the development of renewables. In Q4, we attended 8 trade shows, participated in 48 conferences. We also hosted 20 customer events, 37 customer trainings, and 46 co-marketing activities in key partners across the globe. Our marketing efforts continue to enhance Jinko Solar's brand value and awareness in the industry. Now, I would like to turn it over to Charlie.
Thank you, General. I'd like to walk you through our Q4 results. Total solar module shipments were 2.48 gigawatts, up 5% sequentially and up 43% year over year. Total revenue was $976 million, down 1% sequentially and up 24% year over year. The sequential decrease was due to a decrease in shipments of solar wafer and cells. Gross margin was 11.6% compared to 12% in Q3 and 14.3% in Q4 last year. Our blended cost increased slightly to 33.6 cents per watt in the fourth quarter due to the higher polysilicon price and RMB appreciation against US dollars. The operating expenses represented 10.1% of total revenue compared to 10.6% in Q3 and 12.7% in Q4 last year. The exchange loss is $5 million compared to a net exchange loss of $7 million US dollars in Q3 and net exchange gain of $3 million in Q4 last year. EBITDA was $45 million compared to $36 million in Q3 and $44 million in Q4 last year. Net income was $3.5 million. This translates into diluted earnings per ADS of 12 cents. Non-GAAP net income was $6.4 million. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of 20 cents. Now, I'll briefly review our full year 2017 financial results. We concluded our 2017 with total solar module shipments of 9.8 gigawatts, up 47% year over year. Total revenue was $4.1 billion, up 24% year over year. Gross margin was 11.3% compared to 18.1% in 2016. The decrease was due to the decline in the average selling price of solar modules and the increased volume of OEM partners and higher polysilicon price in 2017. Operating expense was 10.1% of total revenue compared to 11.8% in 2016. EBITDA was $156 million compared to $331 million in 2016. Net income was $22 million compared to $143 million in 2016. This translates into diluted earnings per ADS of 68 cents. Non-GAAP net income was $32 million compared to $179 million in 2016. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of 96 cents. Now, let's move to the balance sheet. By the end of Q4, cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash were $424 million compared to $371 million by the end of Q3. The accounts receivable due from third parties were $691 million compared to $875 million by the end of Q3. Inventories were $657 million compared to $788 million at the end of Q3. We improved our inventory turnover days to 66 days in Q4. The total debt was $1.1 billion compared to $1.2 billion at the end of Q3. The net debt was $780 million compared to $824 million by the end of Q3. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator. Hello, operator.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0, then 2. We will pause for a moment to build up the queue. Your first question comes from Maheep Manloi from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking a question, and thanks for the clarity on the CapEx capacity expansion in the year. But could you just talk about if the plan includes the 1.5 gigawatt U.S. module factory?
I think, you know, this year, if you look at our capacity expansions, and we will reach by the end of this year to 9.5 gigawatts wafer and 6 gigawatts cell and 10 gigawatts module capacity. And for the wafer capacity, we are going to increase 1.5 gigawatts. It's going through, you know, the improvement and operating efficiency output during the ramp-up process. So I just want to touch, you know, the CapEx as well. So, you know, you are talking about the U.S., you know, factories. And the wafer is in China, and we don't expect to invest a lot on wafer. It's through the improvement of the output, you know, during the ramp-up process. And, you know, as discussed, our cost has been improved dramatically during the ramp-up process. And for the cell, we plan to add 1 gigawatt per cell capacity. It's out of China, and it's in the, you know, in Southeast Asia. For the module capacities, we are targeting 2 gigawatts increase. It's going to be located in the, you know, in Southeast Asia, United States, and China. And back to your questions for the update of, you know, the solar module capacities in the U.S., we have launched the plan, and the plan is under the final process by the relevant government authorities, and we are expecting and we are planning to release the details in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Charlie. And just on the U.S. capacity, if I may,
Sure.
We have definitely seen news around potential exemption for some of the international manufacturers from the tariffs. How does that impact the manufacturing factory in Florida? Could you touch on that?
I think maybe you are talking about, you know, some, you know, companies, they're trying to apply the exemptions, you know, through some specific technology, right? And we are still, we are also on, in the process, you know, but back to your question, it's still, you know, uncertainty. Certain companies, you know, like Jinko, we have the technology advantage, and we like participating in the process. But back to the U.S. factory, you know, solar module capacities, we don't anticipate any impact or change on our plans.
Got that. And one last question from me on the U.S. factory. How much of that plant capacity is already sold, or you've already booked orders with U.S. developers? And do you plan to receive any prepayments from the customers this year?
Sure. Now, this is Jenner. So to answer your question, from the capacity allocation side, we do not allocate a specific workshop or factories to single orders or the customers unless it's necessary or it's a must. In general, we sign the supply contract to make sure we will fulfill our obligation to supply this our, let's say, top-tier product. And we shall keep the flexibility for the supply resources. So make it simple, we don't lock ourselves. We lock our capacity, but we don't lock into the specific factory.
Yeah. So, you know, what Jenner wants to emphasize is, I think last month we released the news and we signed the largest solar module contract, 1.7 gigawatts with a counterpart in the United States. And we are also in the process to sign another over 1 gigawatt sales contract. But we have the flexibility, you know, to fulfill the contracts through, you know, both from the factories in the U.S., in the Southeast Asia. So, you know, and
But the definitely the customers' long-term contract together with the let's say the friendly payment terms will be helpful to our capacity expansions.
Yeah.
Got it. Thanks for the clarification. I will pass along the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Alex Liu from UBS. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions. First is, can you give us some color on your cost reduction potential this year in terms of wafer, cell module, each process you have, how much percentage of cost reduction potential this year? And also, what's your view on the polysilicon price this year? And what's your sourcing strategy for polysilicon? And my second question is that we have seen that the wafer price has dropped significantly year to date, driven by the LONGi and the GCL's price cut. So, but we have also seen that the module price dropped very limited year to date. So, does it mean that your first quarter and your first half margin should see some improvement? Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, back to, I think, three couple of questions, and which may some questions are interconnected. And for the first question, the polysilicon, last year the polysilicon increased a lot, you know, to $20 even. And it's because of the strong and unanticipated demand from China, you know, United States, et cetera. And we don't believe the polysilicon at that high level is sustainable. And we are saying the price adjustment, you know, through the our supply chain, not only the polysilicon, but also the potential, the diamond wire, you know, glasses. And now the polysilicon is down, I think, 25%. And we expect the polysilicon price, you know, to be stable in the second quarter. And in the second half year, with more capacity online. and the very cost competitive capacity online, the polysilicon will continue to be, in a downward trend. And the second question is the cost reduction target. And we break down our, cost in-house production cost by silicon and non-silicon cost. And we have already touched on the polysilicon cost. For the non-silicon cost, by the end of last year, we have 23 cents per watt for the non-silicon cost. And we are targeting 15% to 20% non-silicon cost reduction target. And a couple initiatives and it's in the process. I think one of the key areas is the technology driven. The technology will be the key drivers for the cost reductions, like the half-cell, bifacial, PERC, and we will continue to invest on R&D and technology advancement to improve the conversion efficiencies. At the same time, when we deploy our new capacity, even for the existing capacity, we are doing a lot of efforts to improve our automatic levels and to reduce the total non-silicon cost reductions. And the third key area is the lower material cost, and by streamlining the supply chain, like we said about the diamond well, the silver paste, the chemical gas, and so what is the question?
Oh yeah, so the wafer price drop versus the module price, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so for this wafer price, I think mainly the wafer manufacturers are based in China. So when the China domestic wafer price drops, we have seen the relative movement from the Chinese domestic module market at the same time, because the market is quite transparent. However, if we look into the international market, we will see, as you just said, the module price drop less than what wafer price has dropped, right? Mm-hmm. So it's mainly because one is the RMB exchange rate change. Q1 is traditionally a slow season for China. So mainly, these international markets are, traded in terms of U.S. dollars. So the a weaker U.S. dollar or stronger RMB will, compensate a lot of this RMB price drop in wafers. Secondly is mainly the module side or the cell side has suffered a lot during the Q4, even early Q1 before the Chinese New Year. So when the wafer price drop is just somehow smooth this painful process of the module and the cell guy, and I will leave the margin question to Charlie. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thanks. I think the leading branding and the sales capabilities. I just want to emphasize, we have the capabilities and to sign the solar module sales contract, and 6 and 12 months before the actual shipments, and we have locked a lot of sales contracts through the 2018, and. Because of the lower material cost and continued improvement on non-silicon cost, we are expecting our gross margin in the first half year are going to improve, quarter by quarter.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Again, that's 0-1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Philip Shen. Please go ahead.
Hey,
Philip. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Philip. Your line is open now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, operator, that's okay. I think Philip, it's redialing, so please move to next one.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Brian Lee from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the questions. Maybe just the first one real quickly as a follow-up to the prior question or answer around gross margin cadence. When you say that gross margins are expected to improve quarter-on-quarter moving through the first half, I just wanted to clarify one point. With Q1 shipment guidance being sequentially lower off of the 4Q levels, fair to assume that gross margins will be flat to down in Q1 of 18 versus the 11.6 you just did in Q4?
Back to the guidance on gross margin questions, and I think Q1 is typically seasonality low season and quarter, and China is slowing down, after the rush installation by the end of last year, and the U.S. because of the uncertainty of 201 case and before the announcement of by the U.S. president and the pre-buy activities, particularly in the second half year of last year, and we are seeing kind of temporary slowdown in the U.S. So that's kind of combination and resulting the lower shipments in the Q1. And in terms of gross margin, because Q1 almost I think we have signed all the sales contracts by the end of last year, and the price is locked, and the polysilicon is down 20 to 25%, and we continue to improve the production cost, and we are expecting the gross margin will improve in Q1 compared to Q4 last year.
Okay, fair enough. And then second question around just the capacity expansion and CapEx outlook. If I look at 2017, you spent about $480 million of CapEx. And then if I look at your capacity targets for 2018, it's basically the same as what you did in 2017, except for 1 gigawatt less on modules. If I look at cell wafer module, is it fair to assume that you're going to be spending a similar amount, maybe slightly lower, given the 1 gigawatt less in module capacity expansion in 18 as you did in 17? Just trying to think about what you're inferring in terms of CapEx, given the capacity targets are fairly similar on a year-on-year basis.
The CapEx in 2018 is lower than 2017. We are expecting and budgeting around $350 million, compared to, I think, over roughly $450 million last year. And if you look at the capacity, it seems like the same, just like you said, 1 gigawatt smaller cell, new cell capacity. But I just talked about the wafer capacity. We add 1.5 gigawatts this year, but actually the CapEx has already spent by the end of last year, because the capacity needs to go through some ramp-up period. So if you look at Q1, and our wafer capacity already reached to 9 gigawatts, and we continue to increase the output. So we don't spend lots of CapEx on the wafer. So the key investment is one cell, 1 gigawatt per cell capacity, and 2 gigawatts module capacity, as well as I'm talking about the equipment upgrades to improve the automatic level. So the CapEx is roughly this year is $350 million.
Okay, no, that's helpful. Thank you. And then maybe last question from me, and I'll pass it on. With that CapEx level in mind, I know you guys just raised capital, but I'm just wondering how you're thinking about liquidity and the need to raise additional capital, because it seems like you'll still burn a decent amount of cash again this year. So if you could maybe comment on, you know, your view on liquidity and cash flow, moving through 2018, and then if you have a number in mind, what we should be budgeting for the rough level of cash burn this year. Thank you.
Sure. You know, we don't have any plan to raise the equity in the future. Last month, we raised about $110 million. As well as, you know, we have signed, you know, significant sales contract with the U.S. counterparty, and we're expecting to receive advance payments, which will be leveraged to for the capacity expansion. We have sufficient, you know, cash for, you know, plans for the capacity expansion, $350 million. This year, our focus is on, you know, the profitabilities, the operating cash flows. We expect, you know, our free cash flow are expecting to be, you know, break even, and that is our target.
Hi, Brian, this is Sebastian. We got, in fact, we got a significant amount of down pay from our the contract we signed in U.S. Also we have other orders to come, which also maybe follow the same pattern. This year, we assume our, in fact, the cash flow will be good.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'll follow up offline.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Philip Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys, let's try again. Hopefully, this works. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, Philip, please.
Great. Okay, thanks for the questions. Hi, everyone. Quick question on, and apologies if some of these questions that may have been asked, if since I was having some technical difficulties. But in terms of your full year outlook, can you give the geographic mix that you expect? And specifically, you know, can you talk about the megawatts shipped to the U.S. in 2017, and then what the expectations might be for 2018, given some of the challenges in the U.S. market?
Sure. Hi, Philip, this is Gener.
So for 2018, we are foreseeing the China market continues to be our number one market, and followed by this emerging market as well. And our emerging market has a pretty big geographic coverage, like, you know, Middle East, Africa, and Latin America, even some Southeast Asia countries. And then it should followed by the European market, together with our, you know, Asia Pacific market, like Australia, India, et cetera. And for your question of the U.S. shipment, I think U.S. market contributes number three in our 2017 shipment, and it's approximately around 30%, I think. So we are continuing to see the importance of contribution from the U.S. market, because we deeply believe U.S. market will continue to be a very key market across the whole industry all over the world.
Thanks, Gener. So do you expect U.S. to be down year-over-year relative to your 2017 mix, or do you think it could be flat, possibly?
For 2018, we think U.S. market first half will be slightly slow because, you know, the industry is rebalancing after this rushing moment by the year end or before 2021. But we have seen a lot of, let's say, active inquiries and demand by the second half in 2018. So we believe starting from second half 2018, even until 2021, even further, U.S. market will continue to be very strong.
Okay, great. Moving on to ASPs, and sorry if you already talked about this, but I think the ASP we estimated for Q4 was $0.39. Can you confirm what the ASP was in the quarter? and then what the outlook is for Q1 and Q2.
Yeah, we see it's kind of Q4 compared with Q3, we see it's kind of stable. Maybe there are small changes according because of the currency exchange rates. And for 2018, let's say early 18, let's say Q1, at least we see a slightly decrease, but in general, it's a stable trend as far as we have seen right now.
Okay. And then moving on to the overall general Chinese market, I think in your comments, Jenner, you talked about China could slip possibly in 2018 versus last year. So can you give us a sense for the size of the market that you see? And then I know the DG market is becoming ever more important in China. And last year, it was 19 gigawatts. How big do you think the DG market could be in 2018? You know, we're getting word that the NEA is considering some potential targets or caps for the DG segment, and I think the DG segment is a key source of growth in 2018 in China. So, is there some risks to the growth of DG in China in 2018?
Okay, so let me share my view regarding the China market. For 2017, it's a historical year for China and PV market. It's a strong booming year for end up over 50 gigawatt installations. I think it's end up 53 gigawatts. For 2018, we believe China market will continue to be strong, but personally, I doubt if it can overpass the 50 gigawatt again. So as a rational estimation, I foresee the China demand could stable at like stay at the level of 45 gigawatt-ish, mainly contributing from top runner program, which are approximately 8 gigawatt, and this the traditional quota, traditional utility ground mounted utility projects with approximately 10 or 12 gigawatt, plus this the DG market, which will be around 15 gigawatt, and then followed by some other poverty alleviation is around 12 to 15 gigawatt again. So adding some number up and down, but adding those numbers together, it should end up around 45 gigawatt. That's my guess.
Hi Phil, this is Sebastian. So here, I think you bring a very good question about the Chinese demand. In fact, you can see we are very conservative about the expectation of this year because we don't want to give the market too high expectation, although the market definitely could be better than we thought. Our strategy is definitely do the work first. That means we'll balance our geographical mix first. Even China is not as strong as last year, but say it again, we are just being conservative.
Okay, that's very helpful, thanks. And then one quick housekeeping question. This one might be for Charlie. On the sales and marketing, Charlie, was there any reversal of expenses at all in the quarter, Q4?
I don't think so. And actually, we increased some kind of, roughly $2 million provision for the, accounts receivable. So it's kind of increase of, some provision for the accounts receivable this quarter in Q4.
Great. And one last question, in terms of the OEM partners, what was the OEM shipment mix in Q4? And then I know the expectation is that it should come down, but can you give us a more a percentage for possibly Q1 or full year 2018?
In Q4, if you look at our shipments, I think 2.4 gigawatts, and our capacity, the module is 8 gigawatts. So roughly, I think, 20% and percentage. And looking to Q1, and, I think the OEM is very small, below 5%. And this year, you can do the calculation itself. Our target is 11.5 to 12 gigawatts, and we have 10 gigawatts module capacity, so it's roughly 15%.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks, Charlie. Jenner and Sebastian, I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Maheep Mandloi from Credit Suisse. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question again. We saw $181 million revenues from related parties on the income statement. Could you just talk about what that is related to and how should we think about that in 2018?
Okay. We got the bid, for the largest Middle East project and Abu Dhabi project. It's kind of 1.2 gigawatts, and we hold 20% equity. And the shipment of the module to the project, we hold 20% is accounted for the related party transactions. The total shipment, 1.2 gigawatts, will be shipped. Completed the shipments through the Q1 to Q2 this year. So it's kind of, the international projects, and we hold 20%. And from the accounting perspective, it's treated as a party. So the shipments to the project companies is recorded as related party transactions.
And for 2018, should it go up, or how should we model it for our models?
So you're talking about relay party, right?
Yep.
Yes. The total shipments will be completed by the end of Q2 this year. So it should be, I think, Q1 quite stable. Q2 slightly down, and Q3 zero.
Go ahead. Thanks for taking your question.
Okay.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Christian Mihai, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. One question regarding the expansion plans in the sector as a whole. Every company is claiming huge expansion plans in module shipments and capacities for the next years. This is not typical for a sector which operates at extremely low margins. And what's your view on this? What's your view on the broader side of the sector? Because investors are of course worrisome. Regarding this low margin and at the same time this huge sector capacity additions for the future. What's your view on this?
I think from Jinko perspective, we are always adopting the prudent capacity expansion approach. I think you raised a very good question. And if you look at our 2018 capacity expansion, it's almost, I think over 70% investment is for the future, the U.S. market. We have secured the sales contracts, so the capacity expansion is de-risked and and also supported by the upfront payment from customers. And back to your questions, we don't think the low gross margin of 2017 is typical for the for Jinko as a leading solar module companies. And if you look at upstream suppliers like the polysilicon, glasses, diamond well, they are getting over 40% gross margin. That is not reasonable and sustainable. So we are saying a lot the
the trend and the price adjustments through the supply chain, as well as we have strong branding and sales capabilities, and we are able to look up the favorable solar module sales contract. So and I just want to see, and I want to say is the industry is towards the high efficiency, and the high technology, and we believe even if you look at the industries, and only the tier one companies have the capabilities to invest on capacity. I think most of the peers are prudent when the investing on the capacity perspective. So hopefully I answer your questions.
Yes, this is Sebastian. I have 2 points. And first, if you have opportunity to visit our factory, especially our new added factory, you will see lots of new lines, automatic lines. So this is a new technology and definitely have very good economics. Second is that Jinko has a very strict internal standards of IRR. So we are very, like Charlie said, we're very prudent and very selective about our investments in capacity.
Yes, okay, thank you. One other question on the market and its consolidation and its capital market structure as a whole. Some years ago, there were four very large Chinese-rooted companies listed on the Nasdaq and in the USA. Jinko seems to be the last one standing should Canadian Solar come through with this buyout offer. Did you already discuss this issue when Jinko will follow the camp, or is this no issue for you? Thank you.
Sorry, this is General. So are you asking the question regarding the Jinko's the growth, rapid growth strategy to catch up the industry?
No, it's just regarding the listing on the U.S. markets and going private offers from the companies as a whole. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We are seeing a lot of our competitors, peers like the Canadian Solar, J Solar, Trina, they are, they have either completed or in the process or go private, process. And, at the same time, it's a hard question for a lot of internet companies. China is trying to do the CDR and bring the most, reputable companies back to the China and allow the opportunities for the Chinese investor to invest on the, reputable companies. And for the Jinko, we don't have the plan to go, private. And we think, the module business is kind of very international business, and as a platform, U.S. listing companies is very positive and helpful, from the perspective like the branding, marketing, and the transparency of financial statements and etc. And we believe, with more and more Chinese investors and also the policy like the China CDR policy driven, and at the same time we will we focus on deliver the value to the shareholders, and our companies will be the valuation will be more reasonable in the future.
Thank you for your question. Operator?
Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference back to Sebastian Liu. Please continue.
Thank you, operator. On behalf of the entire Jinko Source management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have any, feel free to contact us. Have a good day and a good evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.